Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back. My name is Steve.
I'm Phil.
And I'm Erica.
And I'm Steve. And this is Streaming Things Aliens Again.
Ooh. They still exist?
They still be out there existing,
even
you guys.
Even more of them do?
Yeah. A whole cornucopia of them out there, apparently. Or a saucer.
Oh.
Yeah, saucer makes a little bit more sense than cornucopia.
Hey, you explained to me the pilgrims, all right?
Listen,
think about
it's just
it.
Not as aerodynamic, though. Right. It's just not as aerodynamic.
It's true. It's
Unless it's going like point four. Forced first.
Point first. It's just constantly kind of curving.
Oh, you're right. They curve around, don't they? Okay, never mind.
Well,
we tried.
What we're doing today, if you listen to our previous episode that I did with Alex, I had this whole big production plan for this week that literally everything that could go wrong did. So I've been kind of scrambling to come up with some make goods and give you guys actual content this week. And something happened this week that kind of has been taking the internet, the film circles by storm. I don't know about storm, but it's been getting a lot of buzz. There's a movie called No One Will Save You that has come out that deals with alien invasions, alien home invasions. And I thought that would be a great opportunity because, as you know, listeners, I have a huge alien phobia. I thought this would be a great opportunity to not only talk about this movie, but also talk about some of the aliens that have been in the news recently, maybe our own personal alien experiences. And of course, in order for me to be able to do that, I have to be surrounded by those closest to me. So I have employed the help of my best friend, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Hi.
I love, how you doing?
Sorry, good.
And I've also employed my girlfriend, Erica.
Hello.
How are you?
I feel like just big, beautiful security blanket. It's my job.
You know, when people ask me some adjectives to describe you, I'm always like, big, beautiful security blanket.
That's exactly. I've been described that many times. Yeah, that way. Yeah.
What's that big, beautiful security blanket walking down that street?
Oh, my God. Did you see the jeans on that big, beautiful security blanket?
I look at her and I think, man, I want to be swaddled.
Oh, my God.
I just want to be swaddled.
Get that BBSB over here.
Oh, swaddle me, mommy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. I did that wrong.
Swaddle me, mommy.
No.
Oh, it was better the first time.
Oh, God.
Well, guys, before we kind of get into kind of our overall reactions to the film, we're not going to do a scene-by-scene breakdown because we thought it'd be more fun to just kind of make this a little more loosey-goosey. And also, when we originally watched the movie, all of us, we weren't planning on doing an episode on it.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
So we just don't have those notes, but you're going to get to hear our overall thoughts, our takeaways. We're going to leave spoilers for the very, very end. So don't worry. We will warn you way in advance before we start talking about spoilers. But we're not even going to start talking about the movie quite yet. Mm. We're going to talk about specifically your guys' history with the alien phenomenon or subculture. Do you have any fun alien stories? And why these type of movies appeal to you? And do they exist? Phil, I'm going to throw that question to you. Do aliens exist?
Yeah, I think short answer, yes. I think they do. I don't think that's like a radical opinion anymore. Why are you looking at me like,
I'm giving you the Tucker Carlson.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Oh, God.
Ew, gross.
Ew.
Stop it.
We're leaving. Goodbye.
No, they do. I think they do exist. I don't think it's crazy to say that anymore. It's probably pretty mainstream at this point for people to be open to the idea of alien life out there. Mathematically, like, it seems likely
that. Dude, don't bring math into this.
We are.
All right, we're talking about aliens. Why ruin a perfectly I'm good sorry. Conversation about aliens by bringing up digits?
I'm sorry.
Do you remember like the first time you became aware of like the concept of aliens from another planet?
I was young.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think just watching Star Wars or The Last Starfighter or some of those other
Starfighter
80s movies where there's some alien interaction, was like, wait a minute, wait, what's this concept? And then my father, being a science fiction fan, sort of explained to me the concept in a fictional lens. Mm-hmm. And I always thought it was cool. And then I think really the only movies that have ever truly frightened me in any way, shape, or form deal with aliens, because it's not that it's plausible, but it's more plausible to me than like demons or exorcisms or ghosts or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
he said with the stankiest of stank.
Yeah. So I think I like those types of movies a lot because it has the potential to really give me the willies, unlike mm-hmm. any other genre. Like,
what are some of the ones that give you the willies? Like, what movies are you thinking?
Well, we've probably mentioned before that Signs, the first time we watched Signs, well, I didn't watch it with you, but I remember at the time we had both seen Signs independently. And I mean, that's a really creepy film mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great film. I still think it's a great film. and honestly, I don't think a movie has spooked me since.
As much as Signs?
Yeah. And I guess little preview for what we're going to talk about. No One Will Save You did bother me in that mm-hmm. same way. And I love it for that.
Yeah.
So,
well, 'tis the time to be a little spoopy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We're ramping up into the Halloween season. Mm-hmm. Watching a movie that does. Not that it's the jump scare, because like jump scares don't count. Like actual creepy, well-composed
tension
scenes that last beyond just the viewing. That's like my marker for what a good scary movie is. Mm-hmm. And horror movies don't really do it for me, but mm-hmm. alien invasion movies have the potential. They have the seed yes. to grow into this scary tree, I guess. So
the seed is strong.
Yeah. So, I haven't had any personal interactions with UAPs or UFOs or.
Oh, we say UFO in this house.
Oh, sorry.
This is the UFO household.
You need to bleep out my UAP.
in the edit.
Like, whoa, no cursing on the show.
this is a family show, Phil.
That would sound weird if you're like, well, I believe in UFOs and
yeah.
Like, whoa, what the fuck did Phil believe in that they bleeped out?
Yeah, but I don't have any personal stories, unlike perhaps somebody at this table. So,
well, with that, let's turn over to our other guest here, Erica.
Sup?
Hello. What's up, girl?
Hi.
What's up? So,
what's up, BBSB?
I refuse to answer anything else from now on.
What is your history with the mere concept of aliens? Same question for Phil.
Oh, yeah. So, I think you said, do you think they exist? I think that, yeah. I mean, like, the universe is so vast. Like, we'd be crazy to think that there's literally only one planet with life on it.
Thank you for not bringing math into this.
I feel like this is about science. No, I don't feel like I believe in like the classic iteration of there's a flying saucer and a little gray is coming out of it. Like, I don't believe in that because I'm like, if they have that kind of technology, why the hell would they come to the bad neighborhood of the universe? Because I feel like people, ew, you're really fucking all this shit up. Like, why would they come around? They wouldn't want, they don't need anything from us. Their technology is more advanced than us. It's more like a zoo.
But yeah, it's probably like why so many people in the world watch like trashy reality TV. It's like,
yeah.
They like, honey, get in here. The new humans just dropped. Like, look at them. They're so dumb.
Yeah. It's like little brother, not big brother.
You know, it'd be funny. It's probably also like alien teenagers who are like, hey guys, it's gonna be so funny.
Oh my god.
Let's hop on my dad's UFO and fly over to this dumb rock and teleport some dude up and like put stuff in his butt. It's gonna be so funny.
You don't hear much about butt stuff anymore.
It's true. The probing has gone down. Maybe it's like gauche now amongst alien circles.
Probably.
I disagree. I think maybe
I disagree. I'm all about probing.
Respectfully, I disagree. I think they've gotten better at
whoa, Phil, they got better at what?
For the listener, he bleeped me without me saying anything. No, I think they've gotten better at erasing our memories.
And our injuries.
They have the little thing from Men in Black.
The flashy thingy from MIB.
Yeah. The Neuralizer.
Neuralizer.
I never learned the name. Nice.
Yeah,
thanks. I just remember the noisy cricket. Mm. That was the tiny little gun he had, right?
Yeah, that was cute.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It blew him away. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but what I was saying is I think they've just gotten better at erasing the memories of the abduction and fixing the butt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Incur.
Yeah.
So. In that order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's erase their memory and then fix this butt wound.
Yeah. So.
Now, did they come with holes in them?
Oh, no.
Should we sew that up?
They've been doing it for decades at this point. Like, yeah. I'm sure they've figured out a way to wave a magic light over the butt to fix whatever.
That makes sense. They've got really advanced technology.
No, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so you do think they exist?
I do think they exist. And so my experience in Hollywood, you mean, or in culture, I have been very vocal that I am an Appalachian, but not just an Appalachian. I'm a redneck. I'm a redneck family that married a hillbilly family. So I call myself a redneck Appalachian. It's a genius inbreeding with catastrophic results. And my family has all kinds of stories. They've got Bigfoot stories. They've got alien stories. So I grew up hearing that stuff. So,
Your uncle have like a weird UFO story?
My uncle and I think my dad and it might have been one of their cousins. But yeah, they've said that they had a UFO story. A couple of them, like two different stories that they have. But I grew up hearing about that stuff. I'm not sure that, yeah, like the classic iteration of the UFO abduction, I don't believe in that. But like my experience and then like in the media, like one of my favorite SNL skits of all time would be the Kate McKinnon skits where she's been abducted.
It's like two people who like had this amazing experience. Like they took me up a board and they taught me how to speak different languages. And she's like,
I can feel love.
I don't know what you two did, but there's a gloop corp over here kept looking up my hoo ha. Yeah.
She's great.
She's like smoking a cigarette, so standing good. Like
so good. Spread eagle. All of them are great. I don't have a lot. I haven't seen a ton of the classic alien movies. I agree that I think that the concept of alien invasion is scary just because, like, you know, what do you do about it? You can't do anything. Yeah. It's too bad. So yeah, I think that's pretty scary. And I don't really do a lot of horror movies. I just don't find them appealing to me because I don't like the gratuitous gore.
Yeah, the same way.
It's just not interesting to me. But I think Alien movies are a little, maybe sometimes a little more cerebral, and like the kind of fear that you get is because you can't do anything about it. So it, you just have to let it happen to you. As if no one will save you. That's
God, oh,
that's really clever.
That's the title.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we're all in the same boat in terms of like our, we have similar styles, I feel like, in movies we like, especially when it comes to like horror films.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to hear one of those stories.
Do you want to do that now? Should we do that now?
Well, I was just about to segue into that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry. I jumped the gun.
I mean, Phil doesn't appreciate the art of a segue.
I'm sorry.
But we can do it his way, too. Like, Erica, story, please. Do a good story about big alien in sky.
See me rolling on my segue. Okay, so I'm going to make sure that y'all think I'm crazy. This is not an alien story. This is a weird thing that happened. So I used to own a condo over in Coleraine, and I was on my way. I had my two kids in the back. It was kind of later in the evening, but it was around this time of year where it gets dark really early. And I was on my way over there to do a couple of finishing things. I had my two kids in the back seat. I just had to like run up and get something really quick and then go back home. And so I'm driving down Springdale Road, and it's kind of long and windy. And suddenly I look over at my passenger window. And
so you're looking to your right.
I'm looking to my right, and there's just this weird volleyball-sized glowing thing.
And you're actively driving.
I'm actively driving. So this is, I'm looking over and I'm like, what? Okay. So it's the size of a volleyball and it's glowing. There's no like seams like a volleyball. It's just a glow.
It's a perfectly illuminated
it's
globe.
Like, yeah. It's like one of those, you know, like the light poles with the globes on them. Okay. It's like a perfect globe.
Would you say it was a UFO or that bullshit Phil likes to say?
I would say it's a UGTFO. That's what I would call it. Because I did want it to get the fuck out.
What is the G? Oh, okay. Sorry. What does the G stand for?
Too fast. Sorry.
You got to slow those down so I can get them.
sorry. So it was just glowing and it was keeping exact pace with my car, which wasn't fast. I mean, it's a 35 mile per hour, you know, like back road. It's a long, winding road. And so,
long and winding road.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Every day is a winding road.
Every day. Oh my God, I was saying that in my head all night. Great. So I'm looking out my window and it's just keeping pace with me. And my kids are in the backseat asleep. And I'm just like, okay, so this is a thing that's happening.
And it just followed you around?
It just followed me for, I want to say, like, you know how like things when you're panicking like feel like a really long time, but it probably wasn't that long. It was probably really only like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. It felt like forever in a day. And I say panicking. I wasn't really afraid. I was just more confused. Like what? I'm not drinking because I have my kids in the car.
Question.
Yeah.
Was it bright enough to illuminate the inside of your car?
That's the thing. No, it wasn't. It looked like a soft white light, like a soft white light bulb.
Could it have been a reflection on the window?
No. And I looked and saw that the moon was up way high in the sky. It wasn't the moon. Because that's what my first thought. Okay, that's the moon. It looks so big. Oh, no, that's outside my window.
So when it was,
there's no glare. It was literally outside my window. Like someone had like put a volleyball on top of my roof, like with a big like hanger thing, but it was keeping exact pace. It wasn't moving at all. It was just moving at the same exact pace as the van or not the van. It was an SUV.
So it was moving exactly the same paces as you. Did it like float around?
No. It just stayed in one position.
And then when it was done, it just flew off?
Until it was done, it did GTFO.
When you say it flew off, like was it, did it like hang back to let your car just like outrun it, or did it like speed
it
ahead of you, or
it took off in like a perpendicular direction? It just like shot straight to the side.
Oh, this is my turn. Beep.
Yeah, like, but it was like incredibly fast.
Really?
Zoomed off straight, and then I just lost sight of it because, you know, I'm trying to, like, drive too. Like, so I lost sight of it. I sure as hell wasn't going to be like, I should follow that thing.
You said this was on the west side?
Yeah.
Was it in, like, a neighborhood, or was
No, it's like there was, like, a cornfield type situation.
Okay, so it had room to speed away, not, like, yes. in urban yeah. environment.
Yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, there weren't houses around or anything. It was like right at a particular place where there wasn't a ton of stuff.
Did it make a sound?
No, I didn't hear any sound. I didn't feel anything. Oh my God.
Steve, of course.
I didn't feel, like I said, I was just like, this is a weird thing that's happening. So that's why I'm like, it's not really a UFO
question.
Unless you call it an unidentified flying object, because I guess it was that, but.
Yeah. What was on the radio at the time?
I think it was off because my kids were sleeping.
So you were riding in silence.
In silence.
And a
my children
UAP.
Yeah.
Starts.
What it do?
Starts keeping pace with the.
Keeping pace.
The car. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make a sound. You didn't no make a sounds. Sound.
Nope. I just looked over like, uh-oh, what's that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm in danger.
That's crazy.
But I wasn't scared. This was like circa 2000, it had to be like 2014 or 15.
So this was a while back.
Yeah, my kids were little.
Okay.
And they were in the back seat. Gotcha. So I was just driving over there. I was going to just pick up a few things and then drive right back home. So.
That's crazy. What was this the only time you ever had?
The only time I've ever had anything weird like that happen.
At least until we started dating.
Well, that specific kind of thing where it's like an object.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was it.
Well, gang, let's kind of ease our way into No One Will Save You. This is a movie you can watch on Hulu. It did not get a wide release. This is one of these random like Hulu original movies that should get a proper release in theaters, I feel like, but I, just yeah. don't. For some reason, like last year's Prey did the same exact thing. Where that was an amazing movie, but it didn't get a theatrical amazing. Release. And it would have been great. I think this would have been great to see in a theater, but it is on Hulu Plus. Hulu, you can stream it. It is directed by Brian Duffield, who is a very talented filmmaker. He's done some really, really great movies. I know him best for writing Love and Monsters, which is a really, really fun movie. He also wrote Underwater. He wrote The Babysitter. He wrote... I think the last Divergent movie, if you're like into Divergent movies, but Love and Monsters is great. We know Kit Laser loves Underwater because of Case 2, a very talented dude. And I think so much of this movie, IMDb describes this movie thusly. It says an exiled, anxiety ridden homebody must battle an alien who's found its way into her home. The homebody in question is Bryn, played by Caitlin Dever. And it's basically just a one big horror movie of this girl versus an alien invasion, right? And I just want to get your all's overall thoughts. Again, no spoilers, but where were you going into this movie? Why did you want to see it? And what did you think of it overall? Again, with no spoilers.
Yeah. You sent me the trailer about a week before, and... the trailer got me jazzed enough that I put it on my calendar because I wanted to make sure that I watched it.
You had to make time for this one.
Yeah, right. And it was one of those things where I went into it thinking that it was going to be kind of like a high tension. You wouldn't see the alien maybe until like the latter half, like mm-hmm. really, really like creepy, yeah. like tension building type movie. And I was really honestly, I was really stoked to watch it. I usually catch movies a few weeks after if they're new releases, maybe a few months, maybe a few years. Like, it's very rare for me to like actually watch a new movie when it's new at this point. So same. With this one, though, I'm like, I got to watch that like day one. I was really, really stoked to see it. And then I actually made plans with you, Steve, to watch it.
Me?
Together that night. So you came over to my house and we posted up and we turned off the lights and we turned that on and we had ourselves a good
you turned off the lights
good spooky movie. And mm-hmm. I really liked it. I thought it wasn't what I expected, but that's not to say that was bad. It was the curveballs it threw were really fun, and it kept and it kept me on my toes. I never knew where it was going next. And I don't think I enjoyed the ending as much as maybe I wish I had. But that's okay. Like the journey to the ending is really what I got most out of it. And I think anybody who wants a good scare, whether they're a horror movie fan or a science fiction fan or a home invasion terror movie fan, give this one a go, especially if you have Hulu already. Like it's free to watch at that point. So just watch it. And it's a good 90 minutes too. It's really quick
and cruise through it.
Yeah. And like the pacing is really good too. So it didn't even feel like the full 90 minutes to me. Like it just flew by. And by the end of it, you and I were sort of left scratching our heads. Like, what did we just watch? Like, I'm not sure, but like, it was also really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's one of those movies where I will watch that again at some point. And again, I usually try to watch something I haven't seen before, but because it's so short and because it was so much fun to watch the first time, I honestly think that that's one that I'll go back to again at some point.
Erica, what about you?
I would love, if you don't mind, could I turf it to you first for you to give your thoughts? Yeah, because...
What does turf it mean?
Can I throw it to you? Can I toss this to you? Can you go first and then I'll go last? Would that be okay?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, if that would be...
Are you trying to like gauge how we feel about it? And then you're like, me too.
No, I'm trying to gauge about how much I can say without spoiling.
Well, I'll go first that'll make you feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as like not wanting to spoil things, just try not to like say specifics of,
right,
you know, what something that might ruin a movie for someone. So I ended up watching the trailer for this movie and immediately just thought, okay, this is a movie that is going to frighten me. And I wanted to experience that because I'm not really into horror films in general because they don't ever really scare me. Because I always find the premises either too stupid or perverse and gross, or the good ones are usually high art cinema, like elevated horror, which is good, but I don't necessarily enjoy. I don't necessarily have a fun time watching. I'm just kind of like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate that skill that went to make that, but that wasn't fun per se. Whereas this, watching it, reminded me immediately of one of my favorite films, Signs. And you touched on this earlier, Phil, where I think Signs does this thing really, really well. Even though it's aliens invading a small home, it focuses the invasion of aliens on a singular family. It keeps the stakes relatively small. Like, even though the world is, you know, at stake in theory, you don't see any of that. You only see this invasion through a very isolated family. And it focuses more so less on the horror of like, ooh, scary monster, and more on things that are relatable, at least to me. I always often quote, like, in Signs, it does really well. There's that scene where it's trapped in the closet and you see its shadow pacing. And then when he speaks, it stops. And to me, that is more horrifying than any, you know, jump scare of like Freddy Krueger or Jason. Like, oh, I'm going to chainsaw you, teenager. Like, that shit doesn't scare me. But that to me invokes intelligence and invokes malice in a way that I think is more palpable and real. And it tickles that reptilian side of my brain. Right. And so I immediately wanted to watch this, and I've seen this twice now. I've seen it once with you, Phil, and I've seen it once with Erica. I don't think I could watch it by myself.
My fingers were broken.
They really were. I was squeezing that poor girl's hand. And that was the second time I watched it. Like, I knew what was coming and I was still like...
Phil, how's your hand?
Well, he didn't grab my hand, so...
Phil did have surgery this week on his knee.
Yeah.
I just crushed his kneecap.
Steve, that wasn't my kneecap.
Oh, no! Little Phil. Oh,
my God. I love your love.
But I do.
It's lust.
It's just raw.
And wriggling?
And wriggling.
Oh, God.
Give me the meat. Give it to me raw.
Oh, my.
But the movie itself, I thought, was incredibly well done. The first act of this movie, I think, is probably one of the best acts of a movie ever made. I think it really nails that sort of horror where it's like the things that are scariest are things that are relatable. Again, that home, there's a home invasion thing that kind of sets things off. And that, I think that is so well done.
It's the confusion too.
It's the, like, confusion.
That's what got me about her, is like seeing her so confused. And that was, like you said, the relatable part of that whole thing was terrifying.
Yeah. And the movie doesn't really let up. It's like constantly going. It's constantly moving. There's something going on at all times. It has a little bit of a mystery of like what is happening on the alien front. But also there is this mystery with the character of Bryn. Like there's something going on with her that has made her isolated from the rest of the world, essentially. So you're trying to figure out what exactly did happen. You kind of know pretty early on. You can kind of probably piece together what's happening, but they don't really tell you. And then there's this narrative device that I won't really go super into, but I think it's really, really clever. And especially in today's age, you don't see that very often, where this element is used. And we'll get to that in spoilers. But to your point, Phil, the ending is what I think will, you know, make or break this movie for certain people. I feel like it is an ending, and this is a plus and a pro and a con to this movie, is that the pro, you could watch that trailer today. Like you could pull up that YouTube trailer and watch it and think, you know, where this movie's going. It's not going to go where you think it's going.
No,
I was constantly kind of impressed and surprised, like, oh, I didn't see this coming. Oh, this is happening. Oh, I would not have thought we would have gotten here 5 minutes ago. The con is the ending is, it has an ambiguous ending. I do love those.
You do.
I do think that this movie doesn't quite have the building blocks of a good ambiguous ending. I think the ending, they could have done one or two more things to make the ending make a little bit more sense one way or the other, because I think it's a little too open-ended where, yeah, you could say, oh, I think this happened, or this happened, and you would be completely right. Because there really is no, like, the best ambiguous endings, like Inception, for instance, is like, is he in a dream? Is he not in a dream? Did that top fall? Did it not fall? Like, that's a binary, did this happen or did this happen? And there's evidence to kind of clue you in one way or the other. Like, the audience can come to either conclusion and no one would be wrong. Whereas in this situation, there's not really a binary one or the other. It's like, what the fuck did happen? Discuss. And I do really enjoy the conversation and dialogue that's coming from this ending. Like I've heard four or five different takes on what this ending meant to so many people, and I don't agree with any of them, but I also don't have a better answer than any of them.
Yeah,
which is very interesting to me. That being said, I loved it. I'm excited to get deeper into it when we get into spoilers. But Erica, I think I rated a 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd. But Erica, hit us with those thoughts now that you got to see what we were going to say.
I know. I think that I will feel so much better expressing myself and my opinion about this movie once we do get to the spoilers.
Okay.
I have to say, I enjoyed the movie. I think I might have enjoyed watching you watch the movie more than watching the actual movie itself. I feel like there are good, truly, tense moments. I feel like I've learned a lot from listening to this show about what makes a good movie. And I feel like they made a classic mistake, which, you know, maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to go along more in the spoilers. But I feel like they had a bunch of pieces of a really good movie, but the way they put them together, they lost me. I really enjoyed the tense scenes. I enjoyed the fear factor of it all. But I kind of feel like at the end, it felt like, the eating bugs fear factor, yeah. You know?
Starring Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. I didn't even know that. Oh,
Joe Rogan, you crazy.
That's been forever ago. But yeah, I feel like they lost themselves. I feel like they were really going a lot of good pieces. But instead of really plotting them out, I feel like they threw them in a blender and whatever came out, they just poured that right out onto this film reel. And that's what you got. So I enjoyed it. I think it was fun. I would watch it again, but I don't think they achieved what they meant to or wanted to with it.
I'm really curious to hear about when we get to the spoiler section, what you think about that.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into the spoiler section right now. Let's fucking do it. Okay, so listener, viewer, this is your warning, all right? If you do not want to get spoiled for No One Will Save You, get out now while you still can, because we're about to spoil the hell out of this movie, all right? So you have been warned, and right now we're going to start talking about...
Dr. Spaceman! Dr. Spaceman!
All right, so guys, spoilers. We can talk about this movie however we want.
You're bullshit.
You're bullshit.
I miss that.
If we were to welcome someone to the spoiler section, would we say it like this?
Welcome to Earth.
Oh, you put it on there. Yes, yes.
I even got the other one you had, too. I've just been waiting for a good reason to sneak it in. So now that we're talking about spoilers, Erica, kind of continue what you were saying. What are the things that you didn't necessarily like about it?
I feel like they got stuck in some emotional soup. I feel like they tried.
Ooh, a broth? A stew? Some emotional stew?
Yeah, it was a stew.
Put some bones in that. You got a broth, baby.
So I feel like they tried really hard to make it way more meaningful than it needed to be. I don't really feel like we need it. Like, you're looking at the trailer, you're watching this, it looks scary as shit. You want to kind of have that thrill and that fun piece. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to go on an emotional journey that they went on. I felt like that was way too much. Like, it wasn't necessary. Like, that's really great that you wanted to grow as a person and, like, forgive yourself of this tragic event that happened in your life. But I just don't feel like it was the same movie. I feel like these are two different movies.
So you're talking about the whole reason why the movie's, well, one of the reason why the movie is called No One Will Save You is Bryn, our titular character, is isolated and, you know, sort of exiled from the rest of the small town she lives in because 10 years prior, it was 10 years prior, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Many years prior, mm-hmm. she unintentionally killed her best friend with a rock. They had some sort of argument. Her friend Maude pushed her over and in a fit of, you know, young angst, grabbed the rock and hit her back, and that ended up killing her.
Yeah.
And since Maude is the sheriff's daughter, you assume that everyone in town knows who the sheriff is and knows his daughter was killed by this other girl. And so they're kind of shunning her.
Yeah.
And so the whole movie is there's this kind of mystery about, you know, why does everybody in this town hate her? Why is she living by herself? You know, why is she this homebody? She feels bad about something. She's writing letters to somebody. And then by the end of the movie, when the aliens finally get her, they kind of peer into her mind and you kind of finally get to see what exactly happened.
Yeah, I feel like, I just feel like they took that concept like way too far. I feel like they had enough and they could have stopped it before they ever got into like that whole thing. You know, they have the whole trope of she lives alone. The whole town's looking at her. Oh, my gosh. You know, pearls are being clutched because she's here. Yeah. I thought that was very tropey and just, again, not necessary to make the movie have this. I think they tried too hard for substance. I will compliment the movie. I love the fact that there is very little dialogue. It's all about a picture's worth a thousand words. Mm-hmm. We don't need words.
I think there are precisely three words in this whole movie.
It wasn't very many. I'd love to go rewatch and count.
Where she says, I'm sorry, Maude, right?
I'm sorry, Maude is the only like true line of dialogue. There is a point where she yells, come on, in frustration, but I don't think that really truly counts.
It'd be fun though to go back and rewatch it and do a word count because I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was a good concept.
I loved that choice because it proves that you can make a compelling movie and film with no lines of dialogue, because honestly they could have gotten away with probably ditching the I'm sorry Maude part.
Yeah.
And you would have still gotten it.
Like right.
You would have still seen the anguish and regret in her eyes upon seeing this apparition of her now grown friend. Like we had been seeing pictures of her up to that point. The only real backstory we have for Bryn is that she's writing to Maude and also that her mother is gone. But I think it was a really, really unique, strong, cool choice they made to not include much in the script and by way of exposition.
Right.
So
I liked that.
I kind of want to push back a little on what you said before, Erica, about not liking the emotional stuff. I think I agree that they could have done things differently, but I think there is, I do appreciate that they are giving this character another reason to care about her journey a little bit, because I think it was just a very like, you know, a very, very simple, like, here's this person, aliens are invading, and that's the only sort of struggle going on. I feel like I would be a little bit more, like, I would be entertained, sure, but I think I might like it less. Like, I find myself, the further removed I am from watching this movie, the more I keep going back to this thing with Bryn and her history, and I do appreciate it. It makes me care about her a little bit more than I think I would have if it was just, oh, here's a weird girl who makes who loves birdhouses.
I don't think I quite meant it like that. I see what you mean. I think I meant it more along the lines of like, she had to forgive herself. Like, I no way, she didn't. Like, I like I
just stay angry at yourself, girl.
No, it's not that, but it's like, I think they had enough with this story and that longing, because she, you eventually know that her friend is dead. And they use her friend to kind of be like, I guess we're in spoilers, so it doesn't matter. So they're trying to, these alien species invade, and they put like little baby alien.
Little amoeba looking things.
Yeah, they're like with lots of legs and they're all wiggly. And they put them in your mouth and you swallow them. And when you swallow them, like, your world is just better. And I think they had enough of a story with that when the friend came back and she's like, oh, my friend is here. And then she knew that it was fake, because she really knew that her friend was dead. Mm-hmm. And that's what drew her to pull it out, because she knew that even though this felt more beautiful than reality, like, this isn't real. Mm-hmm. And I think they could have stopped it there. I don't think they need to go through the emotional journey of her, like, oh, now I forgive myself. And then the ambiguous ending, it just didn't go together. But it just didn't match.
The forgiving herself thing, I think they do need to get to that point. If they're having this sort of thing where it's a character who does feel this regret and guilt, I think you have to have that part of that character arc, like, come to an end. And at that point is her not forgiving herself, because she's like, no, my friend is dead, I killed her, I can't be in this world because I don't deserve to be in this world.
Oh, I kind of didn't think it that way.
So she rips it out of her mouth. And then later on, when they show her everything else, that's when she finally sort of, she reaches out and touches her younger self's hand. That's the first time she's ever been able to kind of sort of reach that part of her, and maybe not even forgive herself, but at least start the healing. And she has been so isolated from everybody. She hasn't been able to get the help she's been able to get emotionally. Her mom's dead. It's just her. And so that's the first time where really she's finally like, okay, I am forgiving myself. Where before, she didn't deserve that peace in her mind because she still felt guilt.
I don't want to neglect Phil, because he's just been sitting here while we have this dialogue.
Hit us with it.
The one thing that drives me crazy about the scene where she's like, I'm sorry, Maude. And she pulls the little amoeba out. How the hell did she fit her whole ass hand down her throat?
Well,
let's
try it right now. Phil, go ahead. Let's see how far you can get
Steve,
down there.
No, Steve, you do it.
No, I'm good.
We'll give you a quarter.
I know my limits.
We'll give you a quarter.
Hey, I'm not in seventh grade anymore, guys.
I thought that was going to work.
Oh. Yeah, you can get it. You can get it.
Yeah, it showed up to her wrist.
No,
okay?
No, like, she it had showed her up to whole her wrist, hand absolutely. In her mouth.
Yeah, that's not,
I mean,
real.
I've only seen it once, so maybe I'm misremembering that, but.
Maybe if you accidentally killed me with a rock 10 years ago, you would have done it.
I'm going to break my own wrist right now to get this in there.
Bryn just has like freakishly small hands.
Small hands, and maybe she's
double jointed. Or she's like
double jointed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, maybe so. Yeah. No, but when we watched that scene, I remember thinking, like, I'm going to put a pin in that, because that looks kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I forgot to come back to it when we were done watching it, but you talking about that scene I don't think you're physically able to reach
maybe
down
not.
Your throat like that.
Not maybe yeah. not that far.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be tough out there as we try to navigate the many twists and turns that life throws our way. Not every problem we face has an obvious or easy solution, but talking through these issues can always bring major benefits. So whether you're dealing with a career change, relationship help, or just getting used to your new normal, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. I myself have benefited from therapy. I have benefited from BetterHelp. I was struggling to find myself and figure out who I was post-divorce. BetterHelp matched me with an amazing therapist who taught me all about codependency, what it was, and ways I can combat it and realize my whole true self. So if it sounds like therapy is the right move for you, then give BetterHelp a try. It's online, convenient, flexible, and can work with your schedule. Filling out a brief questionnaire is all it takes to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. To start your own therapy journey, visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It's the month of September, and with a new month comes a new opportunity for us to be thankful for all of the stream fiends who help us at Streaming Things keep the lights on and make this show what it is. So let's give a super patron shout out to some of our most ardent supporters on patreon.com/streamingthings. Thank you so much to Becky the Farmer, Kaylee Sampson, Stanton Valentino, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Butthorn, Conrad, David Malfara, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jadinglage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. And with that, back to the show. Well, since we're kind of skirting around it, before we, because I think this is the hottest button
that everybody is going to. Sorry, that was my bad.
Yeah. No, this is good. This is good. Like, I think this is the thing that people are going to be talking about the most after they watch this movie is like, what is up with that ending? What did that mean? So,
yeah, we can come back
to
that.
So the whole movie.
Yeah.
Let's kind of go back to the beginning.
Yes.
And talk about like what we love about the beginning and then work our way back up to the end.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So the thing, that first act of the movie.
Yeah.
Incredible. Very good. No notes. The most perfect first act ever.
So good.
Because you get a brief sort of like visual introduction to Bryn, her world. She's living in this very isolated house where she like is all about the 50s. She's teaching herself how to dance with like these little things she ordered in the she ordered birdhouses, and she's creating like a model of her own town with these birdhouses. You get little notes like she goes into town and her mother's dead. She's sitting by her mother's headstone. Everybody in town stares at her all the time, and she's awkward, like, hello, hi, it's me.
Yeah, her crush looks at her with disdain.
Yeah. And then like she sees a sheriff and a woman.
Yeah.
And she like hides from them, like physically, like, why is she hiding from the sheriff of the town? That's interesting.
It's a lot.
But then that night, the alien invades. Like, it just starts. It's like, what, in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the movie?
I think so, probably 10.
It's within the first 10, I believe.
Yeah.
Did you expect that?
No. That's the thing. Like, I thought we wouldn't see anything until like at least the halfway mark. Like we would see like signs of it, but not physically see it.
Yeah.
That first act, like you said, if you had shown that to me, like just that first act, in a vacuum, like as like a short film.
Yes.
I would be like, this is a perfect short film.
Absolutely.
Because it scared the hell out of me. Like when this movie's scary, it is 10 out of 10 scary. And that, and I feel like the first 20 to 25 minutes is where it peaked in terms of fear for me.
Sorry.
No, like,
yeah, no, but fear.
Just
absolutely.
Like the way, like we joked about how, like, how does this girl not have a cell phone? Like she's got a landline, but she has no cell phone. Like she's an old soul. So she's a little bit.
Who's she going to call
unique
that cell phone?
In that way?
Everyone in her world hates her and despises her. Who's she texting? No one.
Yeah, but
the internet's full of friends, strangers that you can make your friends.
So,
but also people who can research, who can Google her name and see she killed the town sheriff.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. So she's obviously a little bit alternative in a unique way, but then seeing her react to this thing in a way that any one of us would immediately transports us into her situation. And I think that's what's so scary, is like a home invasion in and of itself is a terrifying thing.
Yeah.
I've never had it done to me. I know people who have had it done to them, and it's awful. Like it's the
horrifying.
Worst. And it's compounded by the fact that she doesn't know, like it's not a person. She doesn't know what this thing is.
Right.
And it's obviously a powerful enough being that they're not on equal grounds physically.
Right.
So she has that to contend with as well. And that first 20 minutes is just, if that was the whole movie, I'd be like,
perfect.
This is perfect.
No notes.
This is so scary.
Yes.
This terrified me. Great, great job. Not to say that the rest of the movie doesn't have its moments either, but I feel like they did such an amazing, perfect job in that first act that it was really hard for them to go anywhere else beyond that.
That's true.
And I mean, she kills the first intruder into her house. And you're like, well, what the hell? Like, where is this movie going now? Because I thought that was going to be the whole movie. Like,
it just fucks, like this one alien fucks with her the whole time.
Yeah.
But no, she like kills the first one that breaks in. Like manages to kill it somehow.
And it doesn't even seem real. Like, wait, did she, maybe this is like a dream? Like what, like how did she defeat the foe within the first half? Like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you learn, like there's obviously more of them that come down to assimilate the world. And she runs into those as well. But those interactions, I don't feel like, meet the high watermark in terms of fear of that first scene.
Yeah,
no, I agree. So the first invader is your visually, it looks like your very stereotypical little gray. It's slightly shorter. It's very thin. They make it move in really like
very jerky
movements. It's all it's like has
that's unsettling
guttural noises that it's always making. But I feel like when he wrote this scene, I feel like this son of a bitch heard my story and was like, that'll make a really fun movie. Because literally, guys, I've told this story about, you know, in 2013, my little alien experience I had over that summer. Several things happen in this movie that I'm like, that's 100% what happened to me that summer. Like from the pitter pattering of its feet, like running up the floorboards, the when it was like that one scene where it's like kneeling down and staring at her.
That was later on.
That was later on. But like that, and then the whole idea of like, oh shit, maybe I've had a bug thing in my mouth and have been living an idyllic dream state ever since. just from the moment that you see like its shadow walking in the other room through like the stained glass windows.
Yeah.
Running up the bed, you see it's like weird little toes that are like finger toes, and it like sort of
she
like
did that.
Cousin It's like across the floor. Was that Cousin It, the hand from Magic Family?
Yeah.
Or was Cousin It
was a long hairy one?
That was
what was the hand?
The hand.
The Addams Family. Was that just the hand?
I don't know.
Thing. Is that what it's called? Thing?
Not sure.
Cousin It was the
hairy one.
Yeah. Sorry. Captain Caveman-esque.
Yeah. But no, it's so horrifying. So later, as the movie progresses, we find out that there are the stereotypical grays. There's also like at least two, maybe three other variants of the alien.
Yeah.
There is this little bastard that has like really long arms and like long fingers, but it's really tiny. And it just kind of like wanders around the back like
it's like a spider monkey.
Yeah.
Which that thing can fuck off.
Yeah.
Not because it's scary, but it's kind of a dumb. So anytime the stereotypical grays on screen, I was terrified. And I felt like, oh, these guys, because they have telepathy and they're throwing shit around. Terrifying. But little like stocky, like me, I'm a little puppy dog. That dude, stupid, hated it. And then the big daddy long legs one that was more of an air traffic controller for the UFOs. Also, I thought was very, very stupid, but like, I think I'm in the minority of that because all the other reviews I say, like, they're always like, man, the Big Daddy Longlegs one was the scariest part of the movie. And I'm like, was it? I didn't think that at all. I thought it was kind of dumb.
Kind of like brings up my other critique of the movie. That's what kind of like I was saying when I listened to your show, a bunch of the episodes, it kind of teaches you what kind of makes a good scary movie. And they absolutely inundated you with the scary thing.
They
and
showed it constantly.
They did. I don't remember. I think there's a phrase for it, a technical phrase for it. But they but they do. They show it so much that you kind of like lose fear. Or at least I did. You kind of lose fear for it. It just keeps happening over and over.
Well, like Jaws, exposure. Like they didn't show the shark until like right. toward the ending. Which,
yeah, you had that tense.
Which is a good way to
the,
like.
The term is hide the monster, basically.
Yeah.
And I mean. I know we keep mentioning Signs. I'm sorry.
It's great.
They keep did that in that
it.
One
keep
too.
Talking
so.
About it. I love it.
Yeah. It's the most one-to-one parallel to this movie.
Yeah.
But this movie does not shy away from showing you the aliens. And sometimes that's not a great thing because some of the CGI isn't great on some of them.
Yeah.
There's like, it's like they were missing one more final pass on texture or shading or lighting on the CGI elements. And I think again, it's worse. It's the worst on the little guy. The little guy is the fakest looking.
Yeah, he's
one
pretty bad.
Out of all of them.
I think the littlest and the biggest were pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think that's because they don't move in a way you expect them to. Mm. Whereas the grays move more or less like
humanoid.
Us.
Yeah.
So,
but unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robotic.
I'm surprised you didn't like those other monstrous ones because I thought those were. Properly creepy and not as scary, but the little one specifically, like when it's revealed in like soft focus behind
her, the reveal was great.
That was scary.
Yeah.
And then there was that moment where she's backing up down a hall and it just like sits and it like kind of arcs its like
arms
up into like a V and you're and the scary part about that is you don't know what's going on. And she doesn't know what's going on with that thing. So the unknown there is really what sells it for me. But again, it's that confusion. It's that unknown element. It's what you're not seeing and what you're not understanding that truly brings the fear to another level. And then when it's being a monster and it's chasing her and it gets caught in the car and it's roaring and stuff.
Yeah.
That to me is not
falls
scary.
Off the roof for some reason.
Right. Yeah.
That's not scary.
Stuns itself.
But that's where it becomes like horror more. So it's like more scary in that way.
Yeah. It goes from thriller to horror.
Yeah. But I think we all kind of prefer the slow build tension type thing versus the like outright actiony.
I agree.
Fear inducing monster style.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like there is. And one thing I do kind of like is you get the sense that there is some type of alien culture.
Yeah.
Behind all of them, but because it's so alien, we don't necessarily understand it. Like,
and there's no dialogue.
Like, there's like some cast of like, these are the soldiers that do X, Y, and Z. These are the lieutenants that come in.
Mm-hmm. They show
these
you.
These are the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm specific. Like, yes, that 100% is happening. Like, you get the idea that the stereotypical grays are like the more elevated, higher functioning members of the society. The big Daddy Longlegs boys are doing some sort of air traffic controlling for the UFOs that are in the sky. And then the little ones are like, I don't know if they're like the babies that eventually become air traffic controllers. So maybe she murdered a baby.
Oh, maybe that was like, it's like training session.
Yeah, like, go get it, Junior.
Well, but then or was she it like a younger one that came from one of the, that already developed from one of the other people in town or something? That's what I was thinking when I was watching it. Like, you know,
like because, they're bursting into people like,
yeah, I feel
style?
Like that was the point of like them being in there. I think it was like, you think I don't it's know like, that it was just me guessing. Like, so they get in there and they infect the people so they can like grow.
Yeah.
That's what, how I took it.
See, that, and that's the thing is the movie so doesn't ambiguous. Explain anything.
It doesn't.
That's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that, but I don't think you're wrong. I don't think the movie shows you any reason to think you're wrong.
I mean, that's why I thought that was a baby one. That was why they were planting, they were feeding off the humans until they didn't need them anymore and then growing or something. Because what do they have need of for the humans? They're all just standing there like putting their hands up to the sky, but they're not doing anything with the humans.
So are we saying that...
I feel like the humans were food.
The amoebas are the first step in a xenomorphic metamorphosis?
That's kind of how I thought of it. But I, you know, it doesn't explain that.
Like Steve said, like there's no explanation. So it's... And like
what
you just
else
said,
are
like,
they doing?
What else are we supposed to know?
You could also infer, because I think you even mentioned this to me while we were watching it, is that the little grays aren't even the quote-unquote invading alien. It's the little amoeba that has been put into a little gray, and now they control that whole society.
Right.
And really the amoebas are the big bad behind everything.
Right.
That are just control, they like lodge into other beings and control them.
Right.
That's that was the Borg mission. Drone for the Borg themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the mission. They're getting the little amoeba things into the humans. But then again, like for what purpose? That was the only thing that I thought about was like, because they're really just like worshiping the, you know, the sky for what reason, but it's like there's a they have to like put these things in people for some reason. So is it part of the same form or is it another entire, we don't know.
But it also could just be one more way you can take over a planet and minimize, you know,
casualties?
Excessive force casualties.
That's
you just make a big portion of the population like not threatening because they're
that's
on your
true.
Side automatically.
They're just drowned.
Assimilation.
Yeah, you will be assimilated.
Yeah. No, I get it. That all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You dog me, pal.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. No, that's an interesting point about people turning into essentially their
host
spider-legged creatures. So
I didn't think that the people would. I think they were just like using the energy of the people. But yeah, now it kind of makes sense. Like if you wanted to just take over the space, you would just make them.
So theoretically, the one she killed in the car could have been a human from somewhere else. Maybe not in that town, since it seems like they
Colorado.
Just attacked. Yeah, maybe so.
I was thinking of it more like it was growing inside them to get to the form and it would like burst out of them. Kind of like alien style, like
okay. So
movie style.
We are merely like the incubation
host.
Vessels.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah, like gotcha. It's feeding off the energy. It's just you need in the human carcass to
either
eat.
Way.
Yeah.
Either way,
it's not.
Bryn set. Murdered a child.
Yeah, she did.
Let's like she's. This is the second child she's murdered. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
This, she's a baby killer.
They were like, "Hey, this girl's in here. Let's throw another baby at her. That'll
this
get her."
Is
oh shit!
The
she killed it right
threat.
Away. Fuck. She boiled it with water. Fucking psychopath.
Bryn's body count at the end of this movie is surprisingly
she's
high.
Badass.
Yeah.
She, one it's, human. It's like four aliens.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. A couple of the other things I really liked. I liked how they utilize the beam, you know, the classic UFO beam of light.
Mm-hmm. It had different functions.
It had different functions. They also made it like scary. Like when it like hit something, it was like, ooh, there's
a jolt.
There's weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really good. Like, so it infected, I guess the first night it infected like the west side of town. but left the east side alone because she goes into town to try to get help. But no one will help her because she's who she is. And like the sheriff and her mom's parents see her and her mom spits on her, which a little bit of an overreaction. Also, that's assault. You're in a police station. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's like going to enforce that.
No. I'm just saying
Brynn could have been like, can I call the county over? Because that's still a law being broken.
And they'd be like, who are you?
Oh, I just wanted to point out on the landline, it had area code 317.
Ooh. So did you look it up?
Louisiana.
Oh, nice.
So down in the bayou.
They didn't really have an accent, though. Not that there were many words.
I mean, those aliens were talking nonstop. Right. They were little chatterboxes, man.
I guess you're right. I guess there wasn't enough speaking.
Every
from
scene, the aliens
else.
Are like, I got something to say.
Now I'll see here.
Like, just watch that movie with the lens of like as Brynn's trying to hide from an alien and it's in the background, like chattering away. Just imagine what it's like. Oh, she has a lot of bird houses. That's fucking weird. Oh, shit. Dunkaroos. Cool.
Well, like we were commenting on like how
Dunkaroos is a secret word, man.
How like hard these aliens would be distracted by pictures of Maud. And we're like, why are these things so obsessed with these pictures of them? And I mean, obviously,
Ginger. Ginger.
Oh my God.
At the end, we learn like, well, they piece together her whole trauma, probably starting with the pictures. They're like, what's with all this? Like, they're like intelligent learning enough to know like there's something more here. This human is not like the others. There's some thing here that we need to investigate.
Was that their mistake then? Like they made someone, this is her best friend. So did they like make her, did they simulate her as an adult because they didn't know what she looked like now? Or did they, was that the mistake that
they assumed that was, she was a still good, alive or that something? Was a good person. Right. So that when they made
she
the dream world,
that person.
That she would be happy, but hoisted by her own petard. She killed that person.
I have to say, that's a super kind way to take over a civilization. You make their wrongs right and you make them happy. I was saying to Steve, like, stay dead. like, literally, this is way better than your real life. And you don't have anybody else that you have to take care of. So, like, maybe that's dark. But, like, if aliens are everywhere and you're going to have to keep fighting them over and over again, and that's so terrifying. Like, I'm sorry. I'm a weaker person than she was. I would have just given over. Like, okay.
So you would have blue pilled your way through that whole
after the third alien,
stay in my real world.
After the third alien and seeing all the crop circles as far as she could go in town, and then being the bus being taken over by the people who were infected. Yeah, I was like, are the odds that I'm gonna get out of this? Real slim.
What do you think the mailman's dream world would be? That he's like a star NBA player. Because there's that scene where he like three points or box. Do you think he's like, as his body's chasing her around, he's just living the dream like, yeah, I'm on the Chicago Bulls 97 team. That was a good year, right?
People. Did you notice that after she picked up the box, there was a huge dent in the mailbox? Like, did the mailman do that with that box? Was it like that before? It's like, shit, man.
They really hate her. Fuck you and your mailbox, ma'am.
Even the mail person's like,
that's why he's
fuck
like,
this girl.
Drop kicking her box and they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's probably a weird ass bird box. Bird house.
I hope your bird house dies.
But you know how like the movie shows us there's a little crop circle in the very beginning. So does that mean like aliens have been kind of like futzing around in her house for like at least one other night that she wasn't aware of?
Yeah, probably.
Like maybe they were scoping out like, okay, who in this town's like the best to fuck with and try to assimilate first.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing some level of recon before they actually did the attack.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. Well.
Ugh. Yeah. No me gusta.
See, they could have added 10 minutes to the beginning of the movie where just that was happening and nothing happened. Like there's just some weird sounds outside. They did. No, that was the first invasion.
They did.
This is a nice house.
The beginning of it is when the trash cans fall.
Yeah, but I thought that started it because I thought she saw the creatures.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But when we were watching it, I made the comment to you, like, I would have just left it. Like,
there's a raccoon in my trash.
The trash can's knocked over. No. Big deal. I live alone.
You don't have a good history of finding raccoons in the trash can.
I don't want to talk about it. yeah, but I would have been like, well, the trash can fell.
Yeah.
I'll get it
in the
morning.
I should shut my window so I don't have to hear this garbage.
Yeah. So, but she was like ready to like put on shoes and march out there and like get her trash cans back together. And I was like, that's crazy.
Go to bed, Nancy Drew. Go to bed.
Yeah, she put on slippers for that.
She did.
Well, we kind of have been skirting around it this whole time. So let's talk about that ending. Yeah. What do you guys think happened? Because I'm interested to see what you guys think, but I want to share some of the theories that I've kind of come across. But first, I want to know what you guys think about what happened at that ending.
Okay, going back to what I was saying earlier about the emotional roller coaster that I thought was unnecessary, I think they already nailed it. And I think they got all they needed to do when there was a clone of her. They cloned her and she came and looked at herself and she was looking at her own reflection. And then, you know, the alien stabs her. The clone stabs her.
The clone, yeah.
And then she kills herself. She kills the clone and she is holding herself and crying. I think that was beautiful. I think they could have stopped there.
Yeah, you said something as we were watching that I thought was very poignant. What did you say?
She was holding herself because she was the only one who was going to comfort her. Her mom was dead. She clearly didn't have a dad in the picture. Everyone in town hated her. So she was the person for herself that no one else could be for her as she was holding that clone of herself. That was the emotional pinnacle for me. That could have ended it. You didn't need all the aliens coming back and like touching your brain like, no, we have to know more. And then she reaches out and touches her little child self. I mean, I think that was fine, but I just thought that was just extraneous and unnecessary. I think we've reached the point of her forgiving herself and at least comforting herself. I guess she was comforting herself and the last step was forgiving herself, but I just didn't think that was necessary. And when you put that with the juxtaposition of this ending, for me, the ending was the aliens took over anyway. They Stepford Wived her. She got to live in this imaginary world as this robot, fake reality. So what was the point of fighting back all that time? You know, it was futile. So that's why I was like, why do we need to go through all that bullshit with like, I'm going to touch my own hand. I just thought it was a little bit melodramatic and it lost the point of the movie because is this a thriller movie? Is it a drama? I thought if they would have left it at she comforted herself, that would have been enough for me. I think they just went over the top with the whole aliens touching her, going through all of that. And then for the ambiguous ending, like it was too much for me. It didn't match. Like you had two different movies going on simultaneously and you could have, again, like make them two movies or, you know, what does that have to do with the aliens and everything? So for me, for the ambiguous ending, it just fell flat. You've Stepford Wived her anyway. What was the point of all that? Like, it was just cheesy, I guess. It was cheesy to me, and it detracted from the fear and terror of the movie because it was just a cheese level that we didn't need with the whole, let's touch her, Brent. You know, I don't know. I just didn't love it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Phil?
I actually agree with a lot of what you just said. I think the ending is the weakest part of the movie for me. Mm-hmm. But then again, a movie like this, it's going to be almost impossible to end in a way that like people
satisfactory.
All
yeah.
applaud. So right.
yeah,
I didn't expect much from the ending mm-hmm. of this movie as we were watching it. But again, I didn't know where it was going at any given time. So I was curious to see how they would wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. We had Signs hope.
Yeah.
We had Signs hope because in Signs there was a solution.
It was a pretty bow on the end of that movie.
Yeah.
There was a bow on the end, but also the solution is kind of like, oh, hey, guys, they're actually really allergic to water.
Right. Yeah. Right. Weird. No, sort of right. Silly. It's cheesy, but it was a resolution, right?
Yeah.
Like this didn't.
So. You're right. Like, I think her holding herself was the like emotional high point of Bryn's story.
Yeah.
And I think after that, you really didn't need the hat on the hat.
Yes.
Beyond that.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
But I really wish, because they sort of tease the idea of like the amoeba goes in and the person sort of, I guess, is blinded by this like false euphoric world that doesn't actually exist. That essentially just like subjugates the people into whatever the aliens want them to do.
Yeah.
And what I had hoped to see is some sort of theme along that line where like this movie doesn't end well.
Right.
And I wanted to see like,
I was fine with that.
It's called No One Will Save You. And if it ended on like a really dark note where it's like no one came to save her and she died, I would have been like, okay,
that was a
really good ending to this. Like I'm okay with a really bleak, dark ending to a movie. I think that's okay.
Same.
And I feel like they sort of forced like a happy go lucky, fun ending. And I understand why, because hard endings are not always the way people want to end a movie. And I get it, but I do like it sometimes when it ends on like, damn, that was bleak.
Brutal.
So I think, the ending was not my favorite part of it, but I do appreciate what they tried to do because we're talking about this right now.
Like
we are discussing it.
That's true.
There are theories, blah, blah, blah. So I respect it. I don't love it, but I respect it. So, I think you nailed it with what ultimately came about at the end. So I just wish they made another creative choice.
I agree.
Steve.
So I've been doing a lot of like soul searching with this ending, because this is an ending where the first time I watched it ended, I didn't really know what it was trying to say. I knew the movie's trying to say something. Mm-hmm. But I could not quite figure it out. And so I've been kind of searching for, like, I've been seeing what other people have been saying, what the discourse has been about it. I found what the director has kind of said about the ending.
Ooh, do tell.
And I've come to a couple conclusions that I want to share with you. And there's a lot of themes going on in this movie. And I think a big movie or a big theme has to deal with the title of the movie itself. You know, there's the big quote by, I just pulled it up, apparently by Charles Bukowski, says, "Nobody can save you but yourself."
Yeah.
So that's a big part of the movie, is she's kind of doing that. And in order to save herself, she has to work on herself. And that's where the acceptance and all that comes from. I do like the what you said when she's embracing her clone. I think that is poignant. I do like that scene a little less than what happens later on when it fully explains what's happened. Mostly because I still am kind of tripped up of what's actually happening there. Like, oh, they can clone people too? Oh, I mean, I guess, sure, they have spacecraft, but that was just kind of a weird, I was more taken aback by that sort of wrinkle in the story. Whereas later on when she's, you know, you get this beautiful little montage of like her with her mom. And that was a bonding thing that her mom did with her, was building these birdhouses. And then you get to see like what actually happened to Maude. And now you can see why she's reverted to this house where her mom, presumably while her mom was still alive, protected her. And they would build these houses together. And she's trying to build this idyllic version of the town that accepts her because she's an outsider that no one likes. And the aliens kind of bring her up into the ship. They look into her mind. They see all that stuff. And I've seen some people say, like, she's an outsider. They're an outsider. They can see this genuine regret that she feels. And they're giving her a second chance that the town refused to give her. Because it's been 10 years. She was a child. It was a terrible thing that happened. She did a terrible thing. But you cannot allow people to change, to grow, to become better than themselves. Become better than if you allow them to have rehabilitation, have that catharsis and grow. And so the town was kind of keeping her from doing that. And the aliens were giving her a second chance in a way that the town wouldn't, which is kind of, I'm saying that in a way where I think that's the thread that I like the best, but I don't agree that it's necessarily built up in the best of ways, right?
It just doesn't match like who they are up to that point, though.
We're ruthless invaders, but we love you. Yeah, we're going to give you another chance.
It just seems so strange.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why do they care about human growth if they're just going to use them as drones?
But also they see that if they give her this idyllic town and like make the little drones that they've created out of the rest of the town, she's not going to be a threat. She's going to be happily, she's just going to accept her life and be happy, and they don't have to fucking worry about anything. They're like, okay, we'll let her live. Who cares? But I do want to bring up this point of whether or not the last scene is her kind of, you know, everyone in town's waving at her now. They're happy to see her. She's having this sort of party in town, and they're doing the dance moves that she was learning at the beginning, listening to the song that she was listening to the beginning. And she like waves at the camera as if waving to her alien overlords, like, hi, thanks for the great time. So there is this sort of, a lot of people have thought like, oh, she's obviously been taken over. She's got the bug thing. She's just living in her idyllic state. I can confirm it's not an idyllic state. One way you can tell is that when she goes into the dream world with Maude, her scar of the door is gone. Mm-hmm. But in the next morning when she's preparing to go to the dance, the scar is on her forehead again. So like that's the indicator that this is still reality. She's got that bump on her noggin. But also they interviewed the director, and he said this, quote, "For Brynn, it's not a delusion or anything. I love Brynn. I love her as a character and what she goes through, and I don't have the heart to be a douchebag. And she gets her kicked so hard in the movie, I wanted our girl to be okay."
I don't think that just because the town all controlled you, now you get to control them. I don't think that's okay, though. I think that's the opposite message.
But also, that sort of gross. Is more in line with the aliens' whole MO up to that point, though, because that I would believe more than the
we queen.
Take pity on her and she right. gets to live her sure. fantasy. That like it's still not like it doesn't make sense to me still, but it makes a little bit more sense than the previous explanation.
Yeah, he continues to say you can interpret it as a dream, especially because of where she is beforehand, but I don't know how much I believe you can heal in a dream. I like bleak horror endings, but I like Brynn more than those. And I think, like, even though he's essentially...
Oh, it's bleak.
Oh, yeah. I think the fact that even though Brynn is still alive and she's in this, like, world that she finally has acceptance in, it's still bleak as hell because everyone, you know, are just meat puppets now that are just there to...
Yeah.
And that might be, like, grid for her, but also, like, is it?
That's a psychiatric breakdown.
he just said like, I don't know how you can heal in a dream, but she's basically living a fantasy, yeah. right? How can you heal in a fantasy? Yeah. Also,
it's bleak.
I mean, I respect the choice. Still don't love it, but
yeah.
Respect, man.
I didn't make it.
Bones. Bones.
I still like the movie. I think it was a fun movie to watch.
I've been harsh about it, but I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah.
You're a straight shooter, Erica. Respected on both sides of the aisle.
But also, I like episodes where we're not all like into it. Like, I like that there's some pushback and some critique that maybe we might not have. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. And if you guys liked this movie, there are a couple movies I would love to suggest to you. Definitely watch Love and Monsters. Oh. It's great. That's the director's previous work. It's a real fun movie. I think you guys are, especially you, Phil, you might love it more than this, 'cause there's just cool looking monsters in it and it's very fun. There's a dog and the dog's cute.
Oh.
Also, if you like spooky thriller movies about home invasions that feature very little dialogue, there was a movie that came out in 2016. It's a Netflix original, I think, called Hush, which is about a guy breaking into the home of a woman who's deaf. Ooh. And so the whole movie has no dialogue. It has hardly any sound.
Mm.
And most of the horror is you can see the dude behind her and she's unaware of it the entire time.
Ooh, don't like that. Probably love it.
You want to know what the best part about it? It's an hour and 27 minutes long.
Perfect. I do like that.
Remember when we watched A Quiet Place?
I A Quiet Place is great.
I just remembered that, and that was a really good one too. But that's more of a monster movie than a than anything else.
Yeah, but this is also a monster movie, really. I mean, and did you ever see A Quiet Place Part 2?
No.
Also good.
Okay. Right. I've never seen either, but they're on my list.
We should watch them.
Yeah, totally.
Let's do it. Yeah. Well, before we close out this episode, guys, do you have any last things you'd like to say to the patron or say to the listeners about anything about this movie, about life, about yourselves?
I just want to say, Mando Jen in the Discord, I hope you watched it and I hope you're okay.
Yeah, hopefully someone watched it with her and trauma bonded with her. Because
poor Jen.
Yeah, she has the same sort of fear as I do about aliens.
I mentioned this to her. This was the first movie in a long, long, long time. My wife was out of town when we watched it, and then you went home. So I was home alone in my house, and my house sort of butts up to like some light woods,
woods adjacent.
So we've got ADT, and I turned on ADT, like I engaged the security system. Then I brought my dog upstairs and I closed my bedroom door, I never do.
Locked every door.
Yeah, I was like, an open window, like open blinds person or a closed blinds person?
Closed blinds.
Yeah.
But Erica, did this scare you at all? Like as much as it scared Phil? Was there a part of the movie that did scare you?
No, it was more like fun thriller than anything. But it's really interesting because of what you said in the beginning. You said movies like this scare you more than like ghost movies.
Oh yeah.
For me, I think probably ghost movies are scarier to me because maybe like, you know, religious trauma from my upbringing.
Sure, yeah, sure.
But like those kind of movies are more scary to me, and so I find those interesting, and I hope that the conversation between you and I goes on.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be on air, off air, because of your stories of the house that you grew up in.
Oh yeah.
So maybe there's another spooky October episode, but if not, for sure, I want to hear more about that.
October is coming up, and you better believe that we'll have some sort of representation of the spoop season happening.
Love it.
Maybe we can do like some campfire stories, and Phil can share some of his ghost stories.
I really don't want to build it up because there's really not a whole lot, but it was just some unexplained stuff.
I got my family, the Red Appalachians, they got ghost stories too. We don't just have aliens.
I don't believe in ghosts though.
Yeah.
I used to, but I don't believe in them.
I still want to hear about it.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I did solicit questions in the Discord.
Oh.
Alien related questions that people can write in and ask us. You too can be a member of Discord by going on to patreon.com/streamingthings and signing up for the appropriate tier. But you can also sign up for other tiers that give you access to bonus content, such as bonus episodes and polls featuring this month's bonus episode on the faculty from the 90s. That will be coming out later this week. But we got some questions written into us from the Discord. This one comes in from Miss Wright. They write, alien question, do you think the pyramids are alien in origin, and have you heard about the pyramid in Antarctica? What do you think the pyramids are for if they are alien? The only pyramid in Antarctica I know about is the one that was featured in AVP, Alien versus Predator.
No, I love it.
Yeah, I haven't heard about the one in Antarctica. Don't think the one in Egypt was built by aliens. I think those were people who built that
one. I think it was just like some people are really good at math, you know? Like,
yeah.
That took some physics and math. And
also,
I think they figured it out.
Like a lot of people worked for decades on those from what I've read.
Hundreds of years. Yeah.
I'm sure people died like just being like.
Absolutely. I think that is a incredible moment in human history that we built those things.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that. I think another civilization came down.
I agree. I think it was math and slave labor.
Absolutely.
Expendable humans.
Okay, so I Google search pyramid in Antarctica.
Yeah, tell me about this. I'm curious.
And it doesn't seem like to be anything really. All of the prompts that come up from Google are basically. It starts off with pyramids found beneath the Antarctic ice on Unexplained season 3. And then the very next
unexplained.
Unexplained.
Unks. It's literally you and X.
Unksplained. Yeah, sorry. That's the one with William Shatner, right?
Yes. Oh, it's like you and X planed.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so bad.
That's the one where William Shatner just kind of shambles in front of some TV screens like,
so bad.
Pyramids? Have you heard about that? What if they were not of this world?
Love like, it. Just, It is so bad.
It's great. I watched the first season of it. It was really fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
So it goes from that thing that comes up to every other article about it is new period in a pyramid in Antarctica. Not quite, says geologist. Reality behind natural pyramid like mountain discovered in Antarctica.
So it's a
pyramid like mountain discovered in Antarctica revealed to be natural formation.
Yeah.
Apparently that is not so. As far as I know, the pyramid in Alien versus Predator is still the only pyramid up there.
Okay.
All right. But in terms of down like the there, actual, right. Oh yeah, down there. Sorry.
There you go.
You're right. I'm thinking of where Santa Claus lives.
Aww,
that's the North Pole.
I know that's up there. But in terms of like the regular pyramids, yeah, I think like within the last year or two, they found like one of the contraptions that help people like pull the big limestone bricks they're like, oh, this makes sense of how they did this now. Like we're constantly discovering things of how they built these things. Now, could an alien have come down and said, Greg, get over here. I have this really dope idea for a man cave. It's a ton of rocks that makes a big pyramid shape. But it's basically just like a bunch of little tiny tunnels that go into one big room and we could put dead dudes in it. Greg, why are you walking away?
You know, classic Egyptian name, Greg.
Greg. Oh, fine. I'll call you by your real name. Greg Tut.
Greg Tut. Yeah.
Good old
classic Egyptian
Greg
name.
Common.
Classic Greg Tut.
Oh, no.
Greg Tut.
Oh, no.
Give me them tutties.
Sorry to any Egyptian listeners of
Dear
streaming
God.
Things.
Well, I was thinking of like ancient Egyptians. Avi. Let's see.
I did hear and I loved him. This really great standing bass player. His name was Keith Tut. And I always got a big kick out of
Keith,
that.
Like with Keith. An F?
No, Keith. Oh, okay. Like the name, Keith. Keith Tut. And it just made me think of King Tut. So I love that.
You said Keith.
Keith. No, Keith.
Oh, that's a great name. Did y'all ever see Fire in the Sky? Saw it way too young. Still traumatized to this day. That's from Lady Pris. I think she's not actually asking this question, but I'm curious to see if you guys have seen this.
I have seen the scene that she's talking about and only that scene because the rest of the movie doesn't seem to appeal to me. But that one part... I have seen that and it's pretty bad. So
yeah, if you want some nightmare fuel, just Google search that scene. Like you just have to probably type fire in the sky, that scene.
Probably would be fine.
Just fire in the sky, the scene, and it'll come up. Yeah.
I have seen the movie and it is based on a true story. Well, I mean a true story about men who felt like they were abducted. Yeah. And I've heard different like podcasts and read different articles about that guy. I mean, I don't know.
I think I'm
I don't have
watch
an opinion
though.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie itself is honestly kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a lot of talking and exposition, and then, like, there's only, like, 2 minutes
it's a lot of
2 minutes of Alien.
Yeah, it's a lot of dudes trying to be bros to their friend who got abducted, like, oh, don't worry about the media, man. They don't know what really happened. And he's like, but I'm traumatized.
I think I feel like it's like, a whole bunch of where to go, what happened, and, like, the townspeople don't believe in us. I got a mortgage to pay. We lost our jobs. And then they find him, and then there's, like, welcome home party. He's obviously got PTSD. He gets triggered and remembers all this in a flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, he remembers everything.
And it was the last 15 minutes of or 20 minutes of movie that everything that you'd want to see happens in.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie.
Yeah. And literally the scene is only maybe 3 to 5 minutes long, but it's pure abject terror.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah.
But that seems to be all the questions I've got. But so thank you guys for listening. Thank you for writing in. If you want to get in contact with the show, if you would like to ask us questions, if you want to ask Phil about his ghost stories or his raccoon stories,
you'll hear that on our spinoff pod, Phil's Campfire Stories.
you can email streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Please follow us on Instagram @streamingthingspodofficial. I've been trying to end the show for months now, but these two yokels keep interrupting me.
Sorry.
My name has been Steve.
I'm Phil.
I'm Erica.
And I'm Steve. And this was Streaming Things. Hey, happy streaming.
Dr. Spaceman! Dr. Spaceman!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.